Hello and welcome to I-80 Sports. It's Halloween week, so we're going to be talking about NBA Halloween. We're going to be going over some monsters and players we think that represent them. Hello, everyone. Like I said, this is Halloween week. We will be doing this Halloween theme that they've been has been happening throughout all of I-80 Sports. We, the NBAs, will be doing it as well. Unfortunately, Jeff and Mongo are not able to make it to this. However, they were kind enough to send us their submissions, so Kevin's going to read their submissions along with his own. I will read mine for the monsters. There's seven monsters. So let's get started. We're going to go in order. So we're going to start with Frankenstein's monster. Superhuman in strength and speed, this mutant freak is a combination of skill sets. This monster makes it seem as if he really is a science experiment. So I picked Zion Williamson. He is a very strong, explosive player. The only question is, can his body hold up? I mean, just like Frankenstein monster's body, can it hold up? You know, it's just stitched together at this point. you know, it's hard to argue that Zion is not a freak of nature. The guy's 6'6", like 300 pounds, and can jump out of a building. Unfortunately, with those measurements and size, he has an injury problem already in his young career. Hopefully, he'll be able to get past it. So, Kevin, why don't you take us from here? You go over Mongo's, yours, and Jeff's.
Sure thing, Mike. All right. This is Mongo's Frankenstein's monster. It's Giannis Antetokounmpo. And according to Mongo, it's not terribly close. He literally has earned the nickname with freak in the title. After all, he is the Greek freak. He's remiss if he's very big, very strong, has won a title with his shooting percentages from the outside not being so great, but boy, can he dominate inside. So that's the defense for Giannis Antetokounmpo. For my pick was LeBron James for Frankenstein's monster. So much bigger than most players, and even at a slimmed down 6'9", 250 pounds, can still play all five positions, incredible skill set, and believe me, you do not want to be standing outside the restricted area trying to draw a foul on this guy. You will not survive it.
You know, the thing about LeBron, if you don't mind me just stepping real quick, is this is LeBron at 250 in modern NBA, where a lot of bigs are still only like 220 to 240. So, like, we're talking about a small forward, power forward, whatever you want to call him nowadays, who's 250 and has been at points almost, you know, upwards of 280.
That is true, but still
I think that gives credit to your point about how much of a freak athlete really is.
Oh yeah, and he turns 37 later this year, and boy, he is still really, really great at what he does. And we have Jeff's pick. Jeff also picked the Greek freak last night, I think maybe it was a couple nights ago. He had five Timberwolves covering him on a fast break. He just casually tossed it off the backboard, and then just dunked in the offensive rebound.
Yeah, I know what he's talking about. I thought it was four, but I did hear about that. Very interesting. So we're going to go to the next monster we have here, the werewolf. Some would call it lucky that you only see the werewolf's full power once in a full moon. This is a deadly monster that only shows up once a month. So here I picked Kristaps Porzingis. I think this is a good choice. The moment you think he's about to be thrown to the curb, he pops back up and has a good game. And then you're like, well, see, look, this is the potential we're talking about. You know, ever since that injury that happened to him with the Knicks, you know, I think it was his second year with the Knicks, where he hurt his knee or whatever, or foot or something.
I believe it was his knee, yes.
Hasn't been the same. He has good games, but they're few and far between. And there's a lot of times where you're like, oh, I can't wait to see this guy not on my team anymore. And then all of a sudden he'll have this huge game where he'll put up like 30 and like 10 with like, you know, 8 three-pointers or whatever. You know, and you're like, well, this is clearly why he's, you know, the unicorn, right? Like, you see these games and that's, you know, I mean, obviously, if that was one of the monsters we put here, he would easily be the unicorn, but he is the unicorn.
All right. Mongo took this to a very interesting level, my friends. Without fail, he loses a fantasy week at least once a year when Luke Kennard has his annual Huckfest. He's clearly in that same stream as guys like Kyle Korver and Doug McDermott, who have carved daily roles for years, but Kennard seems way more content to just tease us once or twice a year with how good his shot is.
And you know what? He's not wrong. Kennard, you know, has some games where he's just lighting it up, and then others you're like, yeah, he's okay shooter. He'll help your team out.
My pick for the werewolf was Kyrie Irving. Very strong tendency to say controversial things, and is very well known to disappear from the team from time to time. You never know when this guy's going to show up. Except this season, he probably isn't going to show up thanks to all the COVID regulations. But that's his own doing. And even
Kevin Durant's going to sneak into Kyrie's house and give him the shot himself.
even before COVID, he's disappeared from the time without even contacting his own teammates.
Yeah, that whole situation's very messy. We'll talk about that on our regular episode. And Jeff here, he picked Jeff Green. Every once in a while, you'll get a glimpse of what he could have been. And, you know, you can't really argue too much with that. Jeff Green had high ceiling and, you know, he comes and goes. And unfortunately, as part of the game, you might be great in college or good in college, you know, and then the speed of the pros is just way too much. And, or you have a major injury happen or something like this. There's always something. And boy, someone who's played against like lower level college basketball players, Division III basketball players, playing against them and seeing how good they are. And just, I can only imagine how much better these professionals are. So it's just crazy to see, you know, you see these guys and then they come out, they have such hype, and then they look pathetic against the pros, but really it's just, that's how good the pros really are. So let's get to the next monster. Here we have our list, the mummy. Some thought he was dead, so he was wrapped up and sent off. They were sorely mistaken, as this member of the undead has more to offer in the afterlife.
It should be noted that we commonly use traded players playing well in their new home in this category. Yeah. So, Mike, who do you have as your mummy?
I picked Dwight Howard. I think that I talked about him a lot in the last episode for NBA 75, top 75 team. I thought he was a snub. I still 100% agree he's a snub. Dwight may not be the same player he used to be during his prime where he was dominant, but he still can put up some big games where he'll come off, where he'll either start for an injured player or he'll come off the bench and he'll put up 25 and 14 with like 5 to 8 blocks, and you're like, wow, how is this guy not in the top 75 players of all time? He's just one of the best center. He's the best center of his generation, and I don't think there's any questions about that.
I completely concur, Mike. I like Dwight Howard. I wish he was in the top 75, but hey, man, I'm sad he didn't make it. All right, yeah. Let's go to Mongo's pick, which is quite interesting. He wanted to give it collectively to the Denver Nuggets, but he did make an official pick of Aaron Gordon. They absolutely revived his career. They let him be himself in a more complimentary role. And then the Nuggets also literally ignored the bandages when they bravely and correctly drafted Michael Porter Jr., which has become even more important with the injury to Jamal Murray.
Yeah, I loved that pick back then. I really wanted the Knicks to take that gamble because the ceiling was so high for him that it's like, well, if he does come back, we got ourselves arguably the best player in the draft. Now, he hasn't lived up to necessarily being the best player in that draft class, but he certainly is a very, very talented player. And the sky's the limit. If he can stay healthy and he can start piecing together a bit more consistently.
Yeah, I think so. And he could have some additional opportunities in the near future with the injury to Nikola Jokic as well. It's not 100% sure how Jokic will fare with the knee contusion, but
they want to take it easy with him, especially with Murray out.
So Michael Porter Jr. probably will have the green light in the near future to put up numbers. I just wanted, before I get to my pick, Mongo wanted me to mention that he thinks before Halloween 2022 that his next answer will be Victor Oladipo. So I'm curious to see how Oladipo is going to recover from his injury.
We'll find out.
Yep, we will. All right. My person for the mummy was Derrick Rose. Injuries took a toll on his body, but he seems to have found himself in a great role as a sixth man coming off the bench. Now that he's playing a little bit lesser minutes, he's still proving that he's playing well. He's actually learned quite a few things in his between when he was the star with the Bulls and now as the sixth man. He knows when to go and when to, you know, let others take the shots. He knows he doesn't have to dominate every single night, but he's still playing very well as the sixth man. And I gotta say, I actually thought he was done when he several years ago, but he's back and he is playing a very big time role right now. Even in
he would have been my number two on my choice. I'm not gonna lie, I did cheat a bit. I did see who you posted before I wrote mine, and I did I didn't want us all to have the same answers. You'll see later on as we continue that does not necessarily work out. Some people,
it's not cheating. I just wanted to put my answer up there just in case.
I like your answer. Dwight Howard still would have been my answer.
Yeah,
but boy, when I saw yours, I'm like, man, that's a real good one. Yep. Derrick Rose, and he's young. He's like 32, 33, something like that.
Yes. I can look that up quickly, but yes.
If it wasn't for that knee injury, we're talking about a guy who literally was an MVP. Who knows where he would be right now if it wasn't for that knee injuries, right? It happened back-to-back years.
And just so you know, you are correct. He just turned 33 years old earlier this month.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to take Jeff's answer?
Yeah, sure. Jeff chose Kevin Durant. It's a good choice because everyone thought he was going to be done after his injury a couple of years ago. Last year, came back second half of the year towards the end, a little bit less than second half, and just dominated and dragged that Nets team and made them finals, made them get to the finals. And they looked like dominant team.
Nice.
I know they're struggling a bit this year. I think a lot of it has to do, which again, we'll talk about in the regular episode. I think it has more to do with the new rules change than it does the lack of Kyrie Irving.
All right. But,
I'll introduce
the next one.
Hold on, let me finish this up real quick. Kevin Durant is a really good player. Let's get to the next one, which is
the ghost. All right, the ghost. If the spirit of the deceased takes many forms in the supernatural world. Among his best tricks, becoming invisible and popping up in the most useful places. Who is your surprise player?
My surprise player is none other than Aaron Gordon. No longer the face of the franchise, he's been stepping up. He's not, now that he's not being asked to be the main guy, he has become such a good complimentary player for the Denver Nuggets.
All right. Mongo went with Al Horford. Oklahoma City Thunder do an amazing job of burying veterans, and with Horford being iced last year, you forgot how useful he can be a contender. He's always been a winner, and he'll be big in Boston this year.
I think that he's a little bit premature with that based off of how he's been doing in Boston, but, you know, it is what it is.
This one, I'll admit, I struggled with a little bit, but I did go off the wall a little bit. I went over to the Minnesota Timberwolves and picked Anthony Edwards. He seemed to be doing a very good job in this early season for Minnesota, so I figured, why not?
Yeah, I saw your answer. I also did struggle as well. I'm like, who to pick, who to pick? That's why I went with Aaron Gordon. I did struggle a bit with a few of these. There was no direct correlation that jumped into my mind. And Jeff agreed with Mongo. Not much surprise, you know. All three of these are good choices.
All right. I guess I can introduce the next one. Are you ready?
Sure can.
All right. We're now at the Headless Horseman. This member of the undead is searching for a command center replacement, looking every year for a head to make his own. We commonly use players who need a new head coach in this segment. So, Kilroy, who you got? Yeah,
I have Dennis Schroeder. He has the talent. It's known. But he seems to be a problem in every locker room he goes to. Maybe this year with Boston, he's finally found what he's been looking for. It's hard to tell. He's a hard person to read. He was with the defending champs last year, Wasn't satisfied there. I don't know how you're not satisfied playing with one of the best to ever play the game in LeBron James, but he wasn't. And he took less money, tried free agency, failed at it.
Let's clarify. He turned down big money, tried to play free agency, and played it terribly. And yeah, he ended up with only 1 year, like $5.9 million or like that. But this year, he's got the chance to play for a much bigger contract. So,
well, right now he's coming off the bench. Boston's point guard situation is quite a crazy one. So who knows what's happening with that. Maybe Schroeder gets some more starts eventually. Let's go to Mongo's.
Okay.
You want to get that one?
He took Kyrie Irving, if I got these notes right. Vaccine situation is a disaster, and Cam Thomas, an incredibly deep bench of veterans, don't seem to miss him. And to the surprise of nobody, Kyrie isn't exactly the media or people's champ with how he's handling all of this. It's no surprise to any of you guys.
No. I get what he was saying. He was saying it was also like between one of two people. You'll say who the second person is when it's your turn. And, you know, I get it. Kyrie's a bit of a problem. I just didn't, again, so I saw who you picked again. And I was
we'll reveal that in a few minutes. Don't worry.
But I didn't want to pick him because I was like, well, Kevin already picked him. And then Jeff picked him anyway. So what's the difference? So my real pick is not actually Dennis Schroeder. My real pick is Kevin's pick.
And my pick is Ben Simmons. He needs out of Cream Cheese City in the worst way. His coach is against him. His best teammate is against him. He's like doing everything to sabotage his role on the team, getting himself kicked out of practice right before the first game. He needs out. And Jeff has added an interesting note. He also agrees with Ben Simmons. He thinks Ben Simmons might end up in Sacramento.
That'd be hilarious. He'd be so mad if that's where he ended up.
Hey, man. All right.
That would be so bad. They'll have like 18 point guards.
Oh, okay. All right.
Let's go to the next one we got here.
I got this. All right. We've got the Scarecrow, my friends. This member of the undead is one of the oldest and most diverse human creations worldwide. It may be scary at first, but the Scarecrow's usefulness comes mostly as a decoy. So, Mike, who you got?
Oh, I cheated on this. I said the Brooklyn Nets power forwards. They're bigs. Not just the power forwards, they're centers as well. Whether it's Blake Griffin, Paul Millsap, or LaMarcus Aldridge, they are not who they used to be. But they are able to take pressure off of KD and James Harden, and boy, it's really exciting. You have to respect them because at any point, they could be like how they can have a game like how they used to. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge is, you know, one of the few players. I forget what his numbers, his stats are like ridiculous that he has a career. He's comparably one of the top power forwards in history, surprisingly, and it's something that you wouldn't think of, or some, probably you don't think of. He quietly became one of the best. He's not that guy anymore, but he's still very good. Paul Millsap, boy, his time with Atlanta, I think it was when he was very good.
All star in Atlanta. You've got that.
Fantastic. And Blake Griffin, we all know him, former first overall pick.
Jumped over a Kia car during the All-Star game.
And, you know, lived up to his expectations, albeit only for a short period of time before injuries kind of slowly derailed his career.
Interesting enough, it's not cheating. Hey, you had to give an answer. Mongo had an interesting answer. He also went with bigs on the Nets bench for many of the same reasons you went. I went a different direction with you guys. I went with Chris Paul. He draws a lot of attention. He's all, even at his ripe old age in his late 30s, he's still penetrating the paint, and he's using it just so that he can dish the ball to other teammates. You know, he's really racking up all those assist numbers, even at this late stage in his career. And, you know, that's where he's the most useful to me.
Yeah. And Jeff agreed with me and Mongo. The Brooklyn Nets power forwards.
I guess the theme in here is the Brooklyn Nets are a big Halloween team fan.
I mean, if you really look at our answers, though, there's a surprisingly large amount of Brooklyn Nets, especially for Knicks fans and a Boston Celtic fan. All right, let's get on to the final monster we got here.
I got this. We go now to the skeleton. This member of the undead skips all the frills and flesh to provide a more bare bones approach. This Halloween favorite is great at fighting above his weight class. So who you got, Mike?
So I picked the dirt. I don't know. This was actually tough for me. I'm like, I don't know.
We have all different answers here. Just so you are all very different.
I was thinking at points as like maybe Steven Adams, but there's not really people above him. He's just a dirty player.
Okay, that's interesting.
I went with Draymond Green. He's not as good as he was when he was younger, but he still, you know, plays hard. He can play. He's undersized for the four, but he still plays it against some of the bigger guys. He's dirty, but he'll fight you hard, and he'll make it tough on you.
You want this guy on your team, but you don't want to play against this guy because he'll get really under your skin, better than a submarine.
I mean, Mongo's pick is arguably just as annoying.
More Mongo's pick is way dirtier, I think, than Draymond Green. Mongo went with Patrick Beverley. When he isn't starting a fight, he's only somehow contributing to a team making the playoffs every single season. Shades of 1990s players like Reggie Miller, who would use defensive agitation as a very effective weapon.
Yeah, I mean, it's very accurate. Hard to disagree with that.
My player is along the same lines. Mr. P.J. Tucker.
This is a good pick.
This player routinely battles bigger, stronger ball handlers. Kevin Durant is not amused by this pick and always finds a way to draw frustration from them. I mean, you might score 40, 50 points, but you are going to feel it when you play against P.J. Tucker.
Jeff picked Marcus Smart. Always in the mix, doesn't mess around. Good choice. You know, if we were using older players, which we could have chosen players who no longer are playing, you know, a good pick here would have been Tony Allen. I think that was his name with Memphis
and Boston.
And that guy was like a shutdown defender. He was hard as nails. Obviously, Dennis Rodman would be a good choice.
That's
you know, pretty much the whole Detroit Pistons team.
I think another one. Oh, no, I've got another name for you for retired players that would fit the skeleton. Bruce Bowen.
Yep, Bruce Bowen would be great.
Also knocks down three-pointers like crazy. But the funny thing is, he couldn't shoot from the free throw line. So this was an interesting player that I thought would have fit for the skeleton.
And yeah, I mean,
my goodness, you know, he was cheap and dirty as heck on the Heat and then later on the Spurs. And as a Knicks fan in the 90s, you knew about Bruce Bowen.
Yeah. I mean, we chose to go with current players for all of our picks. We could have mixed it up. I'm glad we didn't. But anyway, thank you all so much. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe. You can catch more episodes of I-80 Sports Halloween. You can go on to our YouTube channel. And we'll catch you guys next time where we're going to go back to talking about the season week 2 recap.